This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile, and with me today is Dr. Kenneth Ray Stubbs. Ray, as he's often called by friends who know him well, is an author of many erotic how-to books, but today we're going to be focusing on the cutting edge of his practice, his ever-evolving practice, which is the path of the sexual shaman. And he's becoming a teacher of the approach to this path, and someone who is very much wanting to share that with us and the world. So, welcome, Ray.
Thank you.
I wanted to share with our listening audience that I had the honor and the pleasure of having a phone session with Ray in this path. And even though it was on the phone, even though there were periods of silence, there was a field of energy that happened during that call in which all the physical pain that I have in my body disappeared. And I felt my heart open and a reawakening of compassion that's been somewhat missing since the death of my mom a year ago. And I wanted to have you, Ray, let us know what is this? What is this path? How is it different from Tantra or Taoism or some of the other things we've talked about on the show? And how do we pursue this path? How do we walk it and become that sexual shaman? So let's start with what is it? What do we mean when we say sexual shaman?
Well, first, I want to give you how I came to use that term. In 1995, I edited and published a book, Women of the Light, The New Sacred Prostitute, where nine women shared their lives about doing what they were doing, which was a more compassionate, more spiritual, and more energetic approach to facilitating people's growth around sexuality than our general image of what people do when they do hands-on approaches to sexual growth and well-being. And then about 10 years after that, I did a documentary that I entitled The Sacred Prostitute. And I use that term, the sacred prostitute, both in the subtitle of the book and the title of the documentary, because that is the term in the literature. It is not the best term, given the connotations of the different words. And so I had been looking, and over time, the word that I've come to use instead of the word in the literature is sexual shaman. So I think that in ancient cultures that embrace sexuality as a part of the ritual, as a part of their spiritual practice in different ways, of course, at different times, that what they were really doing was doing what we today in the contemporary West refer to as shamanic. And what that is, I think, what characterizes something that is shamanic in particular is not necessarily the symbols that people are using, although that's a way of getting there. It is much more the ability to direct energy. And in a technical sense, the way I define a shaman is someone who has the ability to access and then direct energies through other dimensions into this dimension. And it's not just being able to think a nice thought. It's about literally holding an intent that one, because they're energetically developed in certain ways, that intent comes through another dimension into this dimension. And that's what I use as the word shaman. And even though a shaman may be using a different external behaviors, chanting or using a rattle or a drum, which are all important, but what makes a person effective as a healer, as a ceremonialist, I really think is their ability to affect the energy flow. And it's basically with their intent that they're doing this. And that's how I use the word shaman. And in the area of sexuality, I started to use that term because I really felt that a number of these people that I know who are doing some pretty powerful, effective group work or individual one-on-one type of things around sexuality, as I began to read their energies, I began to see that they had some same energetic structures developed that I had perceived with the Native American medicine people. I live in the Southwest here, so I've had an opportunity since I've been living here in the last 15 years to have interaction with the people who are defined as medicine people, in Hopi, Navajo, Tohono O'odham, Comanche, Cherokee. And what I would observe when people were doing their ceremonies is that they were using their energies in certain ways that was not unlike, to some extent, what people were doing who defined themselves as a sacred prostitute or as a Daka Dakini or a sexual energy professional. So it was my way of coming to terms with a concept that I thought was misrepresented by certain words to try to reframe the perspective. And so the word sexual shaman is not something that I think is traditionally used in any culture, but someone who, in a contemporary culture, is using shamanic approaches to facilitate their own and other people's growth, particularly around the arena of sexuality, and in that, mean that in a very broad sense. So that's how I use the term.
I want to go a little bit deeper into that and make sure that I'm understanding it and our listening audience is connected to it. So I'm going to reflect back that what I think I hear you saying is that throughout time, from very ancient times up to the present, there have been people who have sometimes an innate skill set, something they were born with, sometimes something that they were trained in or developed, that was the ability to move energy, heal with energy, direct energy through their intention or their consciousness or their will, and that sometimes these people have been called healers, sometimes they might have been called faith healers, sometimes they may have been called priests or priestesses, sometimes they may have been called, you know, Reiki workers, sometimes they may have been called Dakas or Dakinis in the Far East, or Tantrics or Tantrikas, and sometimes they may have been called shamans, and that this is a human capacity. We may not have developed it, but it's a human capacity, an opportunity for us to contribute to one another and our energetic wholeness.
You said it perfectly. That really is it. I'm using contemporary language to sort of point in a direction, and it's about the energy and being able to direct that energy is what is the important factor here, and we put different labels on that. Exactly. And as I look into people today as they're developing, as I look at Tantra and Taoist practices and shamanic practices, I kept finding more in the shamanic areas that we call shaman, seem to be a little more developed in that than some of the other areas. And so I just sort of started really intuitively using that word as an alternative.
I love it. I love that word. I love that you've created a term that's new, and that the minute we hear it, we wonder, what is that? Because what is that is a door opening.
Yes.
If I know what it is, if I go, oh, I know what that is, the door closes. If I say, I don't, what is that? Now my spirit is awakened for information to be received. And let's go even further into that. So there's this shamanism, this multidimensional reality of energy. There's a way that it applies to sexuality, the life force itself. And how do we, the listening audience, me, the average human being, how do we follow this path? Where do we start? And where do we go?
Well, there are many places to start, but what is needed is energy. To build the structures and to run the structure, so to speak. And for our physical body, we need food, sunlight, water, air, like that. But those type of energies, what we call energy, are not the type of energies that are that useful for developing what we might call our subtle bodies or our subtle energies. And that's a different type of energy. And I'm going to make a really oversimplified statement to make a point, but the most powerful, most prevalent way for the average person to access this, I'll call it primordial or elemental incarnated energy, energy that we need for this incarnation to develop the different parts of ourselves that are not just the physical body. The most available source to all of us is a sexual orgasm. And I mean that absolutely literally. And I've been trained as a Western sexologist, and our primary definition for many years has been from Mashes and Johnson. And the way they define orgasm basically was with their operational definition of, if it's pelvic floor contractions along with some other physiological signs, then we would call that an orgasm. Well, that is accurate, I would say, in terms of a sexual orgasm. But there are other factors going on, too, and part of that is literally a manifesting or generating of energy. But I want to go on to say that the physical body is not the only body that of which we are made up of that has orgasm. There are other bodies, too. And some of these other bodies have orgasms in ways that people would not necessarily think of orgasm unless they thought about it in that way. Many years ago, I heard about St. Teresa of Avila, who was a Catholic nun, I think it was about the 15th or 16th century in Spain. And she was a real mystic, and she would go into these unusual, very expressive states. And when I was told about this, this is, 40 years ago, I said, oh, she's having an orgasm. Well, I didn't realize that I was intuitively picking up something that 40 years later I would understand that what I said was really right on, but it's another body or another system of ours having an orgasm.
You know, I want to talk so much more about this, and at the same time, I want to support our sponsors and go to a break, but I'm going to encourage our listeners to support our sponsors who help support fabulous shows like this in the world, and I'm wondering how many times I can say the word support in a sentence. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Ray about this orgasm and the energy and how it supports our journey of vital living in the world. When we come back from break and a word from our sponsors.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex, talking to Kenneth Ray Stubbs about the path of the sex shaman and energy and the orgasmic energy. You know, I want to go back to that. We've heard about calories and expending calories and the energy that we need to survive and how important that is. And those of us who have orgasms know how enjoyable those are. Why is an orgasm important? Is it as important as food and water and sunlight? And what does it do for us?
Well, it does. It's a source of energy, and I'm using the word energy in a very broad, loose sense right now to say there's some similarities. But given the perspective of what I'm calling the path of the sexual shaman, is that if we want to develop these other structures that give us the ability to approach life in a shamanic way, because shamans do have abilities that the average person does not have, and different shamans have different abilities, of course. But to have these abilities, those structures have to be developed. To develop the structures, they need energy. One of the main sources of energy for the average person is a sexual orgasm, but there are other types of orgasms as well that people would not call an orgasm, though I would call it an orgasm. Because as I read the energy that is happening during these events, they are literally bringing in or manifesting or generating a type of really primordial energy. I could call it earth, wind, water, fire energy. And that is a form of energy that can be utilized by these other bodies. And it's probably become rather common, one type of these, what I would call a light body orgasm, where people do a lot of intense breathing and they suddenly explode. Now, that can happen in a sexual interaction, or it can happen in a non-sexual context. And for most of us to call it an orgasm, the event would have to happen in a sexual context. But I'm expanding this definition because it literally does the same thing as what happens in a sexual orgasm, but it doesn't look sexual. And you can be on a phone with someone without touching your genitals and tune in energetically once you develop these structures, and you start intensifying your intensity so that you go into these energetic experiences, which they sure feel explosive. Some of them are explosive, some are very subtle. And what that does, in addition to feeling this sensation, there is literally a bringing in of energy that is necessary to develop these other structures. And we do that in many other ways, too. We do it in ceremony, when you do a sweat lodge. You really go into a ceremonial space. It does the same thing, but not as much as the orgasm, what I'm calling an orgasm, at least.
And what I wanted to slow down a little bit, because this feels really important and really big in a way that it can happen in church. It could happen in ritual, where especially in some of the churches that sing and dance and are charismatic, that bring down the spirit.
Exactly.
People, you know, they shake, they cry, there's spontaneous healings. It can happen. Some people experience that in dance, especially if it's a free-form dance where they're, you know, the Gabriel Roth Five Rhythms or dance jams, where they're just so involved in the energy and the music, and everything starts to flow in their body, and once again, they cry or they shake or they have spontaneous healings. And what I hear you saying is that there's a way that we can access, a very powerful way we can access it or guide another human being to access it in high states of arousal. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. When anything that facilitates people getting intensely emotionally involved with another or a group, whether it be sexual or as we have a very expressive this expressive church services. I've actually seen people flop out on the floor with their arms and legs flying all over the place, and yep, that looks like an orgasm to me. But some people would say they caught the spirit, and that's much maybe more likely to happen in a Pentecostal type church, from what I understand. But it's the same phenomena, and given that we're social animals, we have context where certain things are permissible. So when you're at the job, you can't have these, or not supposed to have these orgasms, obviously, but when you're at the church service, or you're having sex, bawling your brains out, or you're doing some sort of a meditation with an intense breathing practice, and you have these intense experiences, it's permissible. And so part of what happens, we have to find a context where it's permissible within the culture without being considered too much of a deviant, or they'll put you in a mental hospital.
So these are healthy. We have a culture sometimes suppressed that, so
exactly.
We have to kind of maneuver to find the ways that we can release these pent-up stores of energy or move energy through our bodies, because that's healthy for us. And I want to talk more about how we do that and that energetic orgasm. I want more of that. That energetic orgasm when we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex with Dr. Kenneth Ray Stubbs. And we're right at the point of energetic orgasm. Yay! And how do we do this? How do we bring it into our life? Practices, noticing, how?
Well, I will tell you how I approach it, but that's not how I learned how to approach it. The way that I present, I would teach it is literally there are energy fibers that are, if you use our physical body as a reference point, that there can come out from our navel area to connect with another person. And if they're doing it mutually, then there's more, it's more likely this is going to happen as we hold our intent to intensify the energy. But not many people have developed that. It's mainly healers and shamanic-focused people that have developed that. The way that I first learned it, probably the very first one, was in a Kwadoshka workshop, where they're doing a lot of breathing, doing muscle contractions, and you're visualizing your energy coming up the midline of your body. It's also, I learned it studying in the with people who would call themselves sacred intimates, the Taoist erotic massage approach, where they're doing massage, but also doing a lot of breathing. And I'm hearing about people who are really into holotropic breath work. When you do lots of intense breathing, that's one of the main ways you can bring it on. But the breath is not essential. It's one of the ways, intense breathing is one of the ways to stimulate that. But it's not, you don't have to have the breath. For example, it can happen quite spontaneously. I once asked a Tibetan Lama that he consider me one of his students. And this is a very important step for me. We were driving away from there and down the freeway. Thank goodness I was not driving, because suddenly I had this very intense buildup in my chest. And I thought, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack or something. It was this huge explosion where I went unconscious. And I was fine afterwards. It's just sort of like this particular Lama is incredibly energetically developed. We don't call him a shaman, but many of the really developed Lamas are shamanic. And what had happened was, I don't know totally what had happened, but I interacted with this incredible energetic field, and something energetically had taken place, so that I end up having this intense energetic orgasm. I call it an orgasm. So there are different ways to learn to do this, but there's no one way. And I'm simply saying that it's when one develops certain of the structures, one can do it easier simply by intending that, and particularly when you're doing it with another person and your energies literally merge together, literally.
I've seen photography of that when they are literally doing almost a Carillion photography or an energetic photography of couples in love play. There's a where their, we might say their auras, their energies, their electromagnetic frequencies merge. And science, I don't think it's as developed as spirit it can be at this point, but even science is pointing to how this merging takes place.
Yes, and I think that what's being photographed in Carillion photography is still very limited as to what is all that's taking place, but at least we have some scientific justification saying that, you know, when we interact with another person, whether it be lover, friend, parent to child, in a group seminar, when the energies merge together, we become different than we are in our everyday walking down the sidewalk type person. And that's why such paths as Tantra, and especially around sexuality, have focused on learning to be present with a partner and learning to do ceremony, where we go into a focused way of interacting and a focused practice to be really present while intensifying the interaction without necessarily doing a lot of physical behavior, which sometimes gets in our way.
So there are practices, before we're sadly running out of time here, so I hear that there are practices of ceremony, of ritual that help create this direction of merging and union. There's, you mentioned the Kwadoshka, there's you. How would people find you, Ray? How do they find you and keep working with you? And also, are there additional resources that you would recommend for our listening audience?
My main seminar to go, site to go to refers to both of my seminars and my individual sessions. It's called sexualshamanseminars.com. Sexualshamanseminars.com. One word. But as I mentioned, Kwadoshka, any number of intense breathing classes or coaches. Now, however, a lot of people who are not really involved in sexuality might be really put upon to or feel uncomfortable talking about this as being orgasm. You might want to call it something else, but I really see there's a lot of similarity. And I once heard a teacher say, oh, women can do this better than men. And I find that's not the case at all. Once you become energetically developed, you're energetically developed regardless of what physical anatomy you have.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, that male and female. And we're going to have to close for now, but hopefully I'll get to have you back again. And thank you. Thank you so much. You're a font of wisdom, and I've read some of your books, and they've really moved and changed my life. Thank you so much for joining with us today.
Thank you.
And male or female, what Ray points to are these gifts of the Spirit in Christianity. Every religion and tradition truly has them that are accessible to us, this path of the sexual shaman. And I want to thank you, our listening audience, for tuning into this show, for being on the path of soul and spirit, and for listening to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. If you want more information about Ray, to have the transcripts, to get connected to him or me, you can also do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.